Welcome to the AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic and will be chairing our meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Tim, Marnie and Kimball, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. So would you like to join me and open this meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God,
grant me serenity. To accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may share their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So I'd like to invite Tim to start off the sharing today. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you, Jen. And hello, my name's Tim and I'm an alcoholic. I don't normally say that in public. This is the most public forum I've ever expressed that. And one of the reasons why I don't say that is because most people misunderstand what I mean when I say that. When I say I'm an alcoholic, I mean I'm somebody who used to drink. I haven't had a drink for over 10 years. If I say that to most people in public settings, they think that I've got a drinking problem. Now, it's definitely true that I used to, but thanks to what I've learned from Alcoholics Anonymous, I no longer drink, and when I don't drink, it's not a problem for me. That wasn't an easy thing for me to learn, because, for one thing, I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I didn't come to Alcoholics Anonymous because I wanted to. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous when I needed to, and not under my own steam. I was pushed to it by friends and family who recognised that I was having a problem that I didn't want to admit was going on. But it was, and it was something that happened gradually for me. You know, I thought I was really good at drinking. And I continued to think that long after it was apparent to all the people around me that it was becoming more and more of a problem in my life. And I didn't know what to do about it. And I, to this day, wouldn't if it wasn't for the people in Alcoholics Anonymous. The strange thing about AA is while I don't drink, I still hang out with exactly the same kind of people I used to. Because they used to drink. And it's actually more fun now, hanging out with people that I like without the encumbrance and the, you know, problems that alcohol created for me, certainly. And, you know, that's not something that I was comfortable admitting for a long time. And it's not something that I found easy to recognise in myself because I thought I was good at it. And I also thought that there were good things about alcohol that enhanced my life and made it better, despite the DICs, despite the ruined family events, despite the mishaps. All these things I attributed to bad luck or, you know, somebody else's problem. They weren't. They were because of the way I drank. Some people can drink with a modicum of control and it's not a problem for them. Good on them. That's not my story. You know, I'm an Alcoholics Anonymous today because not drinking is a better option for me. But it was something very hard for me to learn because I'm stubborn and I grew up in a culture which encouraged me to think it was a adult and, you know, a social thing to drink in certain circumstances, to celebrate things with drinking. I've kind of got over all that now. You know, and I've come to realised how little alcohol actually had to offer me and how much I let it get in the way of my life. Now, those were very, very surprising revelations for me. And the revelations I've made, not because of my wonderful insight or, you know, great intellect, but because of the experiences that people in Alcoholics Anonymous have shared with me. They've taught me how to look at life in a different way, in a way that's made my quality of life better, that's improved my relationships, that's made me a father, a son, a person in the community that I'm proud to be. And, you know, without compromising who I am, I've actually got to be a better version of myself. Now, that's not what I expected from Alcoholics Anonymous. I expected Alcoholics Anonymous to be a very dull place full of people with terrible drinking problems. That can be true. But the people with terrible drinking problems who arrive in Alcoholics Anonymous can also learn how to live a life without that problem, without alcohol. And that's the real blessing of this place. And that's why I'm so grateful for it. Because here I am, part of a fellowship I never wanted to join because of a condition I never wanted to have. And I'm actually very grateful for that today. Not grateful that I'm an alcoholic, but grateful that if I'm an alcoholic, I've got a place like Alcoholics Anonymous where I can come and learn how to get over that problem from people who share that problem with me, and I can go out into the community and live a better, richer, more healthy life than I possibly imagined. Because I didn't think that, you know, there was anything wrong with the way I was carrying on. I'm just glad that I've been presented with an alternative and I've got to enjoy, well, a good portion of my life now, and I hope a lot more, by doing some very simple things and by maintaining connection with a community that understands me and can, you know, just help me enjoy a freedom and a purpose in life that's a lot simpler and less complicated than working out how many drinks I've had every time I get in the car, or worrying about what I might have said last night, or any of those things that I used to just think were part of life. Well, they're not anymore. I haven't had a hangover for years, and I don't miss it. I don't worry about checkpoints, and I'm always happy to give my kids a lift home from parties. It's the best time to hear the secrets of their life, and, you know, I'm always sober enough to drive. So I feel very blessed to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous today, and I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tim. It was great to hear from you today. Next up, we have Marnie.
Thanks, Jen. Hi, I'm Marnie. I'm an alcoholic. It's a bit nerve-wracking and a bit different being on radio for sure, but I've been asked to come and share my experience, strength and hope, and thinking about my journey, you know, before I came to AA, often when I think about my journey, I go back to my childhood, and I'm not sure, sometimes it's, I think, you know, when I first came in and started looking back at my life, and, you know, I was almost looking for a reason that I drank, looking for maybe some traumatic experience, or, you know, maybe it's because I was an only child or came from a single parent home. And, you know, the truth is that, you know, I had a pretty blessed childhood. I had everything I needed. I had lots of love. There was nothing that happened in my life that made me feel like I needed to pick up a drink. I know that's not the experience of everyone, but what I can say about, you know, my childhood is that I just never felt right in my own skin. I was incredibly self-conscious, and, you know, I just compared myself a lot to others, and I'd say that I was quite fearful and anxious, although that's not how I presented. And you know, and that was the same going right through my life. You know, I think I always presented really well. I had a very strong mask that I would attach, and everything from on the outside looked good to everyone else, you know, but on the inside I was, full of fear and anxiety, and yeah, just felt like never felt right in my own skin. But at 12 years old, I discovered alcohol, and I was with a couple of friends at a friend's house, and I guess the friend whose house we were at suggested having a drink from her grandparents' liquor cabinet, and we got out the Karuba rum, and I can still remember it really clearly. You know, we made a glass with a bit of Karuba and a bit of, you know, other alcohol that we mixed, and my two friends were drunk and in the room having fun and being silly, and I kept going back to the cupboard where the Karuba was and drinking out of the bottle because I loved it, you know. There was no reason why I drank alcohol, but I just loved it. You know, that was my reason. It made me feel free, you know. It made me feel like the person that I always wanted to be, you know, confident and you know, just free from worry. And I guess because I started drinking so young, I didn't learn those fundamental things that, you know, children should learn as they grow up. And yeah, I remember after that time I just wanted to drink again, and I did. And I always found or made friends with people who, you know, we're always a little bit naughty and like taking risks, and we'd get into, you know, our parents' liquor cabinets and get drunk, and that was just what I did. You know, it was the only way I knew how to have fun, and as I got older, you know, it just continued really. You know, and I feel like, you know, throughout my life it was just a series of breakdowns and picking the pieces up again, putting on my mask, you know, and included lost jobs and lost relationships, constantly letting people down that I cared about, you know, debt in later life. And when it all fell apart, you know, I just put it all together again and carry on. And and that just kind of continued for years, really. It wasn't, you know, much of an existence, but yeah, I when I was in my late 20s, same scenario again. I'd lost another job, lost a boyfriend, you know, and I just felt like I didn't have the energy to pick myself up again. And for the first time in my life, this thought would just came into my head that maybe it was the alcohol. I'd never considered that alcohol was a problem. I thought I was the problem, you know, so I just hated myself because I thought, you know, I was the problem and I just behaved badly while I was drinking. But anyway, so the thought was planted that, maybe it was the alcohol, and I don't know what made me ring AA, but I did. And I went to a meeting, and I found my people. You know, I found the people that I'd been searching for in bars and nightclubs. And what really blew me away was that people were sharing what I'd been feeling. You know, they were talking about things that I felt. And, you know, and I kept going back because I wanted to belong. And I think that, you know, my whole life I just wanted to belong. But so, you know, that wanting to belong and wanting to be connected, I stuck around, you know, that's what kept me coming. And, amazingly, I, you know, a few stops and starts, but I didn't drink for 7 years. And in that 7 years, you know, I built this pretty amazing life. I went to university, you know, I was able to achieve things because I wasn't, destroying everything every time something good happened. And went to university, was able to maintain a job, had a partner, children, you know, all the good stuff, which, you know, eventually I put in front of recovery, and I lost. And, you know, and I hear it time and time again in the rooms, I drifted away, I drank. You know, I thought things would be different after not drinking for 7 years, and I can tell you they were not. Things were different than that. I wasn't a binge drinker anymore. I drank daily. You know, it started with one bottle of wine, turned into two and three, and it all started off again. You know, by the grace of God, I made it back to AA. You know, I'm very grateful that I made it back to AA. I've known many people who haven't made it back, and I feel very fortunate. this time around. I know that I'm powerless over alcohol. I cannot take one drink. I cannot keep myself away from keeping from taking that drink. But this program I found in AA can. So the support, you know, having the support of other people, the work that we do, the step work, having a sponsor, having a home group that I go to every week, that's what's kept me sober. So if you're listening and you're having trouble, you know, you can't stop drinking, come along to an AA meeting, get some phone numbers, you know, let people tell you how they've done it. It really does work. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much, Marnie. Great to have you here. And Kimball, you've actually got a couple of extra minutes, so you might be able to put those up your sleeve.
Okay, thanks, Jen. Hi, my name's Kimball, and I'm an alcoholic. Thanks to everyone for sharing today. My sobriety date is August the 27th, 2018, and my home group is Akron Big Book Meeting on a Tuesday night in Auckland. I'm a very grateful alcoholic that's in recovery, and I couldn't understand those words when I first came into the rooms of AA. How could you be grateful to be an alcoholic? But I'm grateful that I've learned what an alcoholic is through coming to AA. I've learned that it's a disease and that we're sick people and not bad people. And I've learned to build a relationship with a higher power and people that I understand, and connection through a home group. I'm going to tell a little bit of a story about my drinking journey to start with. I grew up in a rural community in the lower North Island of New Zealand. I had two older sisters and two loving parents. All of us children were adopted, but we all understood that from an early age. We all understood we were adopted. I don't know if I fully appreciated what all that meant. But I would later cling on to some type of excuse around rejection that enabled me to drink the way I did. Alcohol was freely available in our house. My father drank on a daily basis, but not to alcoholic levels. He just enjoyed a drink. He did a hard day's work, and then he came home and he had a drink. And with two older sisters, it was kind of limited to them until probably their mid-teens, and then alcohol was introduced as part of the family fabric. It's what everyone did in a social sense. And because I was younger, I got to access that earlier. And what I've learned is that the four other members of my family aren't alcoholic, but I certainly hold the alcoholic gene, and I was grateful to be able to access alcohol because I loved it. I loved it the way it made me feel from a young age, and for 10 years I had a huge amount of fun. It was awesome. Like, drinking was the best thing. I lived for the weekend. I could go all the week without drinking, but come Friday it was game on. And I'd drink Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I'd say I probably need to ease back a little bit, but I'd be tearing back into it in the following weekend. So the consequences were less obvious at that point, although I knew within myself that I drank abnormally. I knew I drank faster than most people. I knew I drank more than most people, and I knew where it took me was not normal in terms of the other people that were around me. People were probably commenting about my drinking, but I chose not to notice that at that point in time. And then my irresponsibility with regards to alcohol didn't wane as I took on more responsibility as an adult, as I kind of got married, had kids, got a serious job, you know, bought my first house. My alcoholism kind of accelerated. I would go through quite long periods of abstinence from drinking, and I'd be completely fine with that. But when I got back into drinking, it was game on, and just as heavy as what it was when I gave up, which was interesting to me. I thought maybe I could control it. I went through, then it started causing problems in my life. So the middle 10 years, it was kind of some fun and trouble, but much less fun. I'd get anxious before social occasions because I knew that my behaviour would be erratic and unpredictable. And I'd be anxious certainly the following day, so I'd have to take the morning drink to get rid of that fear. And speaking with fear, you know, what I've learnt in the rooms of AA is there's two ways to look at fear. Forget everything and run, which is what I did when I drank alcohol, or face everything and rise as an alcoholic in AA. And I believe that's to be true. I'm not fearful today. My relationship with a higher power gives me the faith to understand that everything's just going to be okay. And I affirm that with myself that, you know, I'm so grateful for the life I've got today versus where I was 6 or 7 years ago. I truly say Alcoholics Anonymous has turned my life around 180 degrees. I love the fact I can wake up on the weekends now without the anxiousness, without the sleep deprivation, and without the sore body. So I really don't miss drinking at all. I couldn't understand that when I first came into the rooms. I didn't understand what it all meant, but by getting a sponsor and working the steps and letting them guide me through that process, that enabled me to truly understand. I understand also that the steps are for the individual, the traditions that really guide the group, and the 12 concepts of AA are all about service, and that the three pillars of AA are recovery. We've got to make sure that we recover, and we do that with people that have been in the rooms for a little bit longer than ourselves. Then we unite through our home group where we take on accountability and responsibility. It might be a small job to start with, but actually building that and turning up each week is critical in terms of your success, I believe. That's certainly my belief in terms of recovery. And then it's getting through the steps and getting to step 12 and being able to sponsor other people. And that's really where probably the greatest amount of accountability from my perspective has taken hold. I look at myself and say, well, Kimball, you can't go out and drink now. You've got sponsees that need you. And that really keeps me kind of on that straight and narrow. I love all the terms and phrases in AA. I love the old timers that can tell all those stories and that they just speak with confidence and wisdom. I deeply admire my sponsor, who's been in the program for over 30 years, and how he's turned his life around. I meet with him on a weekly basis, and I respect him. I'm so grateful for the time that he gives freely to me, and that he can share his knowledge and wisdom and be there. I meet with him weekly, but I can call him at any stage and talk him through challenges that I might be facing or that my sponsees might be facing. And so I'm, you know, really grateful for that in terms of being able to have someone that is essentially mentoring my life, and I can tell anything to him as needed. So yeah, by working the steps, it's a daily program, so it's one day at a time. I have this reprieve from alcoholism, and I know that I need to do the action, take the action every single day. The first thing I do in the morning is pray and meditate. It's critical. I read the daily reflection. I try to get to 3 or 4 meetings a week. As I say, I've got a good relationship with my sponsor, who I respect his time, so I make sure that I turn up when he expects me to turn up and ring him when he expects me to ring him. And as I mentioned, you know, working with other men in the program, and you know, and I've got a home group that I stay really close to, and try and give back as much as I can. So, yeah, super grateful to have a solution to my alcoholism. It's really the best decision I've ever made in my life was to walk through the doors of AA. And so I will always be grateful for my father for suggesting it and for friends that are giving me that guidance and support, and my ability to turn some of my relationships around through making amends, but also them trusting in me now is very important to me. And I'm going to hold on to my sobriety. I want to die a happy, sober man. And to do that, I need to keep coming back to this program and staying close and putting myself in the middle. So thank you for having me here today. If you've got the disease of alcoholism, or you believe you have the disease of alcoholism, I strongly suggest you give AA a go, because there is a solution out there for people that are struggling with the bottle and the effects that bottle has to them. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Kimball. So that's all we've got time for today. Thank you again to Tim, Marnie and Kimball for joining us in the studio today, and to all of you for listening. We are on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call us on 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM website, www.planetaudio.org.nz, under the program name AA On Air. So finally, please join me now in closing this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you all so much.
Have I told you there's no one above you? Fill my heart with gladness, take away my sadness, ease my trouble, that's what you do. All the morning sun and all its glory raises day with hope and comfort too. Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one above you? Fill my heart with gladness, take away my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do. Well, that's what you do.
do.